So right now, Hamas is running Columbia University. That appears to be the way things are at America's top universities, where students who pretty openly and obviously back terrorist groups are now violating all of the time, place, and manner restrictions at their various universities. They're violating their student codes. They're sitting out in the middle of the campus, obstructing other people from getting to class, shouting genocidal slogans at them. And the administrations, because they are filled with cowards, are doing nothing. Now, before we go any further into what's actually happening on these college campuses, I think it's kind of important to break down the free speech concerns that people correctly have about what is happening on these college campuses. So to understand that, you first have to understand that there are various factors that go into the actual legal obligations that various universities have with regard to their students. So on the one hand, you obviously have the First Amendment. The First Amendment applies differently at private universities and public universities. So the First Amendment suggests that you cannot have viewpoint discrimination on college campuses. That only applies in full at public universities. So for example, if I want to speak at UC Berkeley and a student group properly invites me and they clear it through all the procedures, so they fulfilled the time, place, and manner restrictions, then I have a legal right to now speak at UC Berkeley. The same does not hold true when I go to speak at, say, DePaul University, which actually happened. When I showed up at DePaul University, which is a private Christian university, Jesuit university, when I showed up there, they didn't want me there. And despite the fact that I'm a mainstream political commentator, they threatened to arrest me if I set foot on the campus. They had the legal right to do that. Not only that, they actually got the Cook County Sheriff out there to arrest me if I set foot on the campus. Now, was that morally correct? Of course, that wasn't morally correct. It was absurd. It was a restriction on the principles of free speech. Was it a legal violation of my rights? No, which is why I could not sue them, because they were a private university. So public universities and private universities do have different legal obligations with regard to viewpoint discrimination on campuses. And you can see why, because let's say that you have a Christian university. They have no obligation to bring in as a professor or a speaker somebody who is wildly pro-abortion, for example, or for that matter, somebody who's going to teach Judaism or Islam. It's a Christian university. Same thing, it's a yeshiva university, which is a Jewish university in New York. No obligation to have professors who are teaching radical Islam or something. Right? Viewpoint discrimination does not apply in the same way to private universities that it does to public universities. Then you have the question of time, place, and manner restrictions. Time, place, and manner restrictions, legally speaking, suggest you can have neutral laws that basically say you're allowed to protest during these particular hours. This doesn't just apply to universities. This applies in cities. It's why what protesters are doing is illegal when they walk onto a highway and block it. You actually have to have a permit in order to do certain protests at certain times in certain places. There are certain places in the United States where you have very broad leeway for speech. And so if you walk into a public park and you just start shouting about politics, good shot, they're probably protected. But even in public parks, if you're going to have a mass rally, there are time, place, and manner restrictions. You don't want it happening at 2 o'clock in the morning with a loudspeaker. There are people who live around, right? So those sorts of restrictions apply also. And then you have the final concern with regard to college campuses specifically, and that is Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, I have long argued that the Civil Rights Act, while obviously excellent in its intent, goes too far in many areas of American law, from applying to private accommodations to also its restrictions on speech at universities. It's an anti-discrimination law. It was designed, obviously, to allow Black people to live fulsome lives in the United States. That's why, again, well-intended. And if I'd been around in 1964, I likely would have voted for the Civil Rights Act, despite all of my mitigating problems with the actual legal language of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But it does go too far in a lot of areas. When it comes to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act guarantees, it's a legal mandate under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, that the Education Department guarantee that college students have a right to a place that is free of a harassing environment on the basis of sex, on the basis of race, on the basis of ethnicity. Now, this obviously creates some kind of fraught situations with regard to free speech, right? Because you could see a situation in which a university tried to claim that particular types of speech are violative of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. But under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, for example, if you had a giant protest in the middle of a college campus in which Black students were being harassed as they attempted to get to class with students screaming at them KKK slogans, the school would not just have the right to suspend the students and stop the protest, that have a legal obligation to do so, or they would be in violation of the Civil Rights Act. That is one of the things that all these universities are now being banged upon, because these universities have created massive speech codes. And these speech codes theoretically are designed in order to quash violations of the Civil Rights Act on campus. Many of them go too far. This is a point that FIRE has made, the free speech group. This is a point they've made on campus. Many of these speech codes are not actually designed to avoid violations of the Civil Rights Act. They go way too far in attempting to prevent people from speaking freely. But it does happen to be the case that if you have, say, a bunch of pro-terrorist students on campus who are harassing Jews as they get to class by spitting on them, who are shouting things about the extermination of Jews between the river and the sea, who are suggesting that they want to globalize the Intifada, which is a violent, incendiary attempt to kill Jews in Israel and elsewhere, that would violate Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Now, again, you can make the case that some of the speech is borderline in sort of how it interplays between the Civil Rights Act and free speech. And I'd be sympathetic to that case. But on a legal level, the reality is that these universities cannot receive federal funding if they are acting in violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And the Biden administration itself has made this clear. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, the cost of living has already increased 17% this year, and it continues to rise despite interest rate controls. Now more than ever, you need to be confident in the financial services companies you work with. Birch Gold is the proven industry leader you want on your side. They show you how precious metal investments can fortify your lifestyle and your retirement, even in turbulent economic times. Birch Gold gets that navigating financial decisions can be intimidating. If you're considering converting an existing retirement account into a precious metals IRA, their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you. Birch Gold values your questions and concerns. Their team is always available to provide answers and clarity. Whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process, they're here to ensure you feel heard and informed. Text Ben to 989898 to talk to one of Birch Gold's experts and claim your free info kit on gold. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. The best part is, it doesn't cost a penny out of pocket. Just text Ben to 989898 to get started. Again, text Ben to 989898. Ask all of your questions, get all the info, and then talk about diversifying at least a little bit into gold. Text Ben to 989898. The Biden administration put out a statement. This is a letter that they put out to all of the schools back in November of 2023, talking specifically about this. They call it a Dear Colleague letter, reminding schools of their legal obligations under Title VI and its implementing regulations to provide all students a school environment free from discrimination based on race, color, or national origin, including shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. And that includes harassment based on a person's shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. So, again, there are legal issues at play here. Beyond that, when you look at Columbia University, which is now sort of the epicenter of the anti-Semitic pro-Hamas movement, when you look at Columbia University, they themselves have a student code of conduct. They're a private university. All colleges, by the way, can have student codes of conduct. And those student codes of conduct include things like don't commit crimes. Right? Well, the Columbia University student code of conduct specifically says that the basic principles of ethical conduct are, one, be honest, ethical, and truthful. Two, obey the law. These students are violating the law. They are trespassing right now. They're in violation of that law. The student code of conduct also suggests that everybody at the Columbia University experience, quote, are expected to conduct themselves in an honest, civil, and respectful manner in all aspects of their lives. I didn't realize spitting on Jews and threatening Israel with extermination was acting within that purview. Acting at the behest of terror groups and terror supporters was within that purview. So, again, there are many things that these students are violating. One is basic human morality. Don't be pro-terrorist. I know this is really rough stuff. Don't be pro-terrorist. Then, as to the questions of free speech, you get into sort of the complicated area of how free speech and civil rights law actually apply. But when you're talking about a private university like Columbia University, certainly Columbia has no obligation whatsoever to tolerate pro-Hamas students chanting anti-Semitic slogans on their campus. And in fact, they probably have a Title VI Civil Rights Act obligation not to allow that to happen on the campus because it creates that harassing, discriminatory environment. Again, if you switch out the group that you're talking about to black students, you know this wouldn't be going on. You know that if there were a bunch of white supremacists at Columbia University who are chanting, blacks should not replace us in the middle of the Columbia campus, that would last for one hot second in the middle of Columbia University campus before the police got called in. Columbia, however, has been bending over backwards because they don't want to tick off their faculty and their students because the ideological capture of these universities happened decades ago. This happened all the way back during the late 1960s when you had student protest movements that decided they were just going to take over campuses, like take over college buildings, threaten actual deans. And the deans did nothing because it turns out that the sort of classically left-wing liberal mindset of the deans back in the 1960s, this idea that they had to respect what the students were saying, even if those students were violating the law in doing it, and they had no moral sort of wherewithal to stand against the perspective of the students, allowed the students to run roughshod over them. One of the most evocative anecdotes about this, which I've talked about on the show before, Shelby Steele, who at the time was a black radical. Now, of course, he's more on the conservative side of the aisle. He writes in one of his books about how he was a student radical back in the 1960s. And he was at UC Berkeley, I believe. And he walked into the dean's office and he proceeded to start smoking a cigarette and letting the ash fall on the very expensive carpet. And he thought the dean was going to kick him out of the office and have him suspended. Instead, the dean kowtowed to him. Instead, the dean basically allowed him to do what he was going to do because he had no ability, because of his own white guilt issues, to stand up to Shelby Steele, who was, a black radical at the time. And this is what you are seeing from the administration now. The administration for two full generations has been completely captured by the radicals. All those student radicals ended up as the actual admins at these universities. And then they hired professors at these universities. And this is why, for example, you are seeing professors who are joining in all of this. The biggest problem that these universities, people keep asking, why are these universities doing this? Why are they allowing this? The answer is the universities are allowing this because they are completely staffed by people who agree with the pro-Hamas protesters, or at least in large part agree with them. And even if they don't agree with them, they're too weak-kneed to say, on principle, we don't like terrorism at this university. We don't like terror support at this university. And harassment of Jews is, in fact, a violation of our university policy. So Columbia, for example, has now moved to hybrid classes for the rest of the term, according to the New York Post, which is the highest form of cowardice. So instead of saying, we need to guarantee the ability of students to get to class, which is what you normally would do. If I were the head of a university, and as you will see, many heads of universities who are not in liberal states are doing this. They're saying, you obstruct students, you're going to jail. If you violate the precepts of the university, you will get suspended or kicked out of the school, and then you're on your own, which is how a university ought to run. But they're not doing that at these universities. Columbia instead announced that its classes at the main campus would be held remotely for the final weeks of the semester. Provost Angela Olinto wrote in a Monday night notice, quote, it's vital that teaching and learning continue during this time. We recognize conditions vary across our campuses and thus are issuing the following guidelines. Classes on the Morningside Heights campus, which is the central campus, will be hybrid, technology permitting. Faculty without the means to provide hybrid classes were urged to fully consider the remote option and to provide other accommodations liberally in the final days of the semester. So students are paying like $80,000 so that they can learn via Zoom. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, the tax deadline just passed. Do you owe back taxes or still have some unfiled returns? Well, not only is owing back taxes stressful, the IRS has also become more determined than ever to come after you. The IRS's chief data and analytics officer revealed they are focused on an enforcement project with an average return on investment of about $6 for every $1 spent. They're targeting individuals and businesses that currently owe back taxes or haven't filed their returns first. Tax Network USA, the nation's leading tax relief firm, knows the tax code and they're going to fight for you. With a record of negotiating over $1 billion in tax relief for their clients, their team is knowledgeable in handling any type of tax issue. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help. Even if you don't have all your personal or business records from over the years, they can get you filed up to date. Facing the IRS without a professional, not a smart move. Contact Tax Network USA for the best strategic advice to help reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. Call today at 1-800-245-6000 or visit their website at tnusa.com/Shapiro. They'll give you a free private consultation on how you can settle your tax debt today. That's tnusa.com/Shapiro. Again, tnusa.com/Shapiro. Meanwhile, over at various universities all across the United States, similar protests are breaking out because once you have student radicals who are being activated, as we will see, by the same groups and the same funders, once they feel mush, they push. And so you are seeing massive protests break out from Los Angeles to San Francisco, of course, to Chicago, to New York, to Washington, D.C. None of this is a giant shock. Harvard University has a big protest in the middle because they have nothing better to do. One of the places this is not happening is like the entire South. So again, if you look at the map of the United States where these big protests are happening, the answer is no place where the Republican governors are. And that is because left-wingers are truly sympathetic to both the underlying position and to the idea that violation of the law is okay, depending on your principles, which again is reminiscent of BLM. This is very reminiscent of the BLM riots, in which the left basically said, well, you know, we don't love the riots, but we don't understand where they're coming from. It's just the passion that we love. It's really the passion. So what exactly is happening at places like Colombia? Well, outside the gates of Colombia, just to make clear, these are not people who are just chanting about how they don't like Israel's military action in Gaza. They were chanting that they want all of Israel. We don't want no two states. We want all of it, meaning the extermination of all the Jews between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. Genocidal slogans being chanted, as even the Colombia president recognized in congressional testimony, this is in fact anti-Semitism. Okay, so delightful people. Colombia protesters were also openly shouting in support of terror groups. Many of them are shouting things like, we are Hamas. Delightful people. Meanwhile, the Colombia protesters are openly organizing to prevent themselves from being cleared by the police. The police were called in earlier this week, and then everybody who was arrested was immediately let out of jail, like really quickly, within hours. They all went right back to the campus, and Colombia refuses to clear them now. So here are the Colombia protesters who are vowing literally to break up into platoons to defend their illegal encampment.
We will know because of that in advance of an imminent sweep. We are entering a period of high alert for the next 3 days. And that is why I urge all of you to talk to your friends as well and let them know that we may need people to turn up quickly, en masse, in front of the encampment to defend the encampment.
Okay, so also worthwhile noting here that for all of the free speech concerns that are being levied by good-hearted people on all sides of the aisle who want to make sure that free speech is protected, the protesters are the ones who are violating the free speech and free movement of other students on campus. They literally are barring places on campus from other students going, including journalists. So here are Columbia protesters telling journalists not to film them, for example, which I didn't realize that's not a thing, by the way. You have no reasonable expectation of privacy in the middle of a public area at a university where you are deliberately seeking media attention.
Sorry, would you mind just not filming people's faces without their consent?
You're in a common space.
Yes, but just out of respect for people's privacy.
Okay, I'm filming from outside.
They don't own that park. That's ridiculous. Meanwhile, faculty members created an actual chain. Faculty members, all of whom, if this were a normal university, would be fired. They created a chain to keep out journalists at Columbia University, according to Sat Kessel. And you can see the faculty members were lining up arm in arm to stop this. NYU professors did the same thing. There's another protest that's happening at Washington Square Park with NYU sponsors. Here are some of the professors, some of them wearing their graduation robes just to show you their credentials, creating a human chain around the encampment to keep out the intruders. Beautiful. Oh, look at all that. Look at that wonderful tolerance happening right there. Okay, so who are these protesters? Well, some of them are actual pro-Hamas protesters, obviously. I mean, the reality is that these people are in fact supported by a wonderful group of far left people who are totally fine with their money going to groups that subsidize anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic language. And this, again, there's nothing particularly new right here. According to Ira Stoll, writing for the Wall Street Journal, Malik Afana, a law student at the University of California, Berkeley, and Craig Burkhead Morton, a senior at Yale, Afana went viral this month for disrupting a dinner at Dean Erwin Chemerinsky's home. This week, Yale Daily News reported that Burkhead Morton had been arrested for trespassing. Afana and Burkhead Morton have both been youth fellows of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, whose website identifies them by their first names. As of April 4th, the campaign was soliciting applications for a new cohort whose campus-based fellows would receive stipends of about $3,000 for three-month terms of roughly 8 weeks of work a week. That work could include aiding campaigns that, quote, demand federal or state politicians cut U.S. military, financial, or diplomatic ties with Israel. The corporate entity behind those fellowships is Education for Just Peace in the Middle East. Where does the funding come from? Well, from George and Alexander Soros. Their Open Society Foundation put $700,000 into education for just peace in the Middle East since 2018. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund also has given education for just peace in the Middle East over $500,000 since 2019. And again, that's nothing new, going all the way back to October, according to the New York Post. George Soros has funneled more than $15 million since 2016 to groups behind pro-Hamas protests. A post-examination of Open Society Foundation's records shows Soros' grant-making network gave $13.7 million of the money through the Tides Center. Tides beneficiaries include Illinois-based Adala Justice Project, which on the day of the October 7th massacre posted a photo on Instagram of a bulldozer tearing part of Israel's border fence down and a caption, quote, "Israeli colonizers believed they could indefinitely trap 2 million people in an open-air prison. No cage goes unchallenged." So again, left-wing, same groups that backed BLM backing all of this, which again is not a shock. You remember that BLM, on its statement of principles, literally included statements of support for radical pro-Palestinian causes. And you remember that BLM, after October 7th, actually tweeted out an illustration of paragliders from Hamas gliding into the Nova Music Festival to kill Jews. Hamas, for its part, is very supportive of all of this. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, there's nothing like sitting behind home plate at a baseball game or being courtside at a basketball game. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or somebody else is going to instead. Like if you're hiring for your business, you need to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition grabs them. What's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter. Find the best talent fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within day one. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter is indeed the smartest way to hire. Go check them out right now. ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it for free. We've been using ZipRecruiter for years at Daily Wire. It's why we are constantly getting stronger in terms of our employee base. You can do the same. Head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire to get started. Hamas released a statement in support of the anti-Israel encampments. So you can see that they are very pleased about it. No shock there. Meanwhile, Ayatollah Khamenei, who is a full delight, the leader of Iran, the mullahs, he put out a tweet saying, "Western governments say the resistance front is terrorism. This comes at a time when the people flew Hezbollah's flag in a street in the U.S. The people of the world are supporting the resistance front because they are resisting and because they are against oppression." Yes, again, that left-wing pro-terror axis is quite real. The PFLP, which is a terrorist group, they are also supporting what is going on right now. According to the New York Post, just yesterday, radical anti-Israel activists told Columbia students, quote, "There is nothing wrong with being a fighter in Hamas," weeks before the campus exploded in pro-Palestinian protests. In a 2-hour tirade to anti-Israel activists at Columbia and Barnard, Charlotte Cates, international coordinator of Samidun, the Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, said, quote, "These are the people who are on the front lines defending Palestine and fighting for its liberation." Cates was referring to a terrorist organization responsible for the mass murder of hundreds of Israelis on October 7th. She spoke alongside her husband, Khaled Barakat, and they spoke to members of the Columbia University Apartheid Divest Group. Cates and Barakat represented themselves as speaking on behalf of the Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, but in reality, Barakat is a senior member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a terrorist organization. So that's who these folks are. That's who they are being supported by. Now, in reality, are all of these protesters deeply in love with Hamas? No, they're in love with a network that hates America. They do not like the West. And as we've discussed many times on the program, the intersectional program fully locks arms with pro-terrorists. Why? Because the intersectional program suggests a conspiracy theory. That conspiracy theory is that if any group underperforms by any metric, it must be because of the systemic discrimination of the society in which that group exists. And they apply that internationally. So if you look at the Palestinians in Gaza, they've wildly underperformed every possible metric. Why? The actual answer is when you elect a terrorist group to lead you and then you pour billions of dollars into terrorism, turns out that's not a great strategy. Turns out that it's a recipe for fail. It also turns out that when that terrorist group crosses a border, kills 1,200 people and takes another 250 hostage and then gets its ass kicked by the Israeli military, also a bad plan. That would be the reason they're having a rough time of it right now. But if you're a full intersectional warrior, you believe that the reason for all of that is because of the systemic discrimination. How do you know? Because the Israelis are successful and the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip are largely not. Because of their own behavior, despite Israeli concessions over and over and over for the past several decades. So you have to pick the most outlying example of a group that has clearly underperformed because of their own bad choices and still say that it's because of systemic discrimination. What's the most obvious group for that are Hamas, Hezbollah, terror groups, truly evil people who are underperforming by every metric because of their own activity, but blame it on the system. Because if you're willing to go that far, you're willing to go all the way. It's all just the outgrowth. It's fruit of the poisonous tree. Western civilization is bad, and that's why people are suffering. That is why you are seeing these people lock arms. They don't know anything. So, for example, there's tape of one of these protesters going around, going pretty wild yesterday. Here's one of the ignorant protesters being asked about why she was protesting on behalf of Hamas.
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated. You literally go to one of the top universities in the country, but that speaks for everything. You're not educated, you're ignorant, but you know that your virtue signal here will get you in good with the cool kids crowd at the universities and with the administration, which has supported all of this. Pretending the administration and the student body are at odds right here is wrong. They're playing an inside-outside game. That's what's really happening here. You have student groups who are very radical and faculty who are very radical protesting against administrators who are also radical and then who are going to make concessions to the faculty and student groups in order to achieve peace on the campus. That is the goal. It's an inside-outside game. The administrators know what's going on. They have full power to do whatever they want here to stop the violation of law, and they're not doing it. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, Grand Canyon University. It's a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. GCU shares your values. They believe our creator has endowed us with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote your flourishing, creating a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Whether you're pursuing a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your degree. GCU has over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose today at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu. That's gcu.edu. And again, pretending these people know what they're talking about in large part is wrong. The most colorful example of this was there is a person whose name, she calls herself Crackhead Barney, which, I mean, at least truth in advertising here. She attacked Alec Baldwin, of all people, a far leftist, at a coffee shop demanding that he shout Free Palestine, and he ended up in a scuffle with her. And then she was on Piers Morgan's show, because Piers will have on anybody. And here is how that went.
Piers Morgan, you're asking too many questions.
Just for the record, my name is actually just Piers Morgan.
What's wrong with saying Free Palestine? Piers, can you say free Palestine for me? Can you say Free Palestine for me?
If you stop shouting, yeah.
I want you to say it.
Yes, I'm happy to say.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to shout.
If you just,
Mr. Piers Morgan.
If you just keep quiet, I can answer your question. Yes, I'm very happy to say that.
I'm never quiet, Piers.
Sorry, you're still talking.
I'm never quiet.
Okay, but try.
I'm never
otherwise,
quiet,
I can't.
Piers. I cannot.
You ask me to do something. If you don't shut up, I can't give you the answer.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up for you.
I absolutely believe that Palestine should be free. Yes.
Okay, I don't even know why Piers is giving that to her. Like, seriously, why is he even giving that to her? And by free, I hope he means free of Hamas and free of the Palestinian Authority, because we can all agree on that. In any case, one of the big questions that arises from all this is not just why the college administrators are doing this. We know the answer. They're doing this because they are very left-wing and because they agree with what is going on these campuses. Again, if these were protests that were directed against Black students, if these were protests directed against gay students, if these were protests directed against any of the other groups on the intersectional hierarchy, these protests would be over like that. They would be done because they violate time, place, and manner, because they call into question whether the schools are going to lose Title VI funding. Yeah, but they're not doing that. The real question is, where is Joe Biden? Where is Joe Biden in all this? And the answer is Joe Biden, like these college administrators, Joe Biden is just a college administrator, except for the country. He is a supposed moderate who is perfectly willing to be led around by the nose, by the radicals in his own party, and then pretend that he is that he is, you know, he really has to give in because they're just, they have good principles. Sure, they're a little too passionate, but they're just, so he was asked on Monday about these, they call them anti-Israel protests. They're not. They're anti-Semitic protests. When you're protesting in favor of a terrorist group, they're not just anti-Semitic. They also happen to be anti-American. And by the way, if you're a foreign student and you're protesting on behalf of a terrorist group, you shouldn't be in the country. We should deport you forthwith. You don't have free speech rights in the same way that an American citizen does. Anyway, Joe Biden was asked about this and he did the thing. He did the actual thing. So you remember back in 2020, Joe Biden announced he had to stand up and he had to run. Why did he have to stand up and he had to run? Because he remembered Charlottesville. Now you remember that early in 2017, there was a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. And then there was also an Antifa rally in Charlottesville. And President Trump was talking about, there are a lot of people on various sides of the aisle and they have a bunch of different beliefs. And then he said that there were very fine people on both sides, but he did not say there were very fine people who were marching with the white supremacists. That's not what he said. Okay, it was played like that by the media. It was vague language. It was confusing language by Trump, but it was played by the media as though what he had said, even though he didn't, was that the white supremacists were fine and the anti-white supremacists were fine. And that was actually the explanation that Joe Biden gave for why he got into the race. What you'll recall is that what Donald Trump actually said was that there are very fine people on both sides of the conversation about whether a Robert E. Lee statue should be torn down in Charlottesville. And that was then used in order to suggest that he was saying that there are very fine white supremacists. Okay, so it wasn't even true. But what Joe Biden said is that that was the reason he ran. He had to have absolute moral clarity on something as egregious as white supremacy, which if Trump had said that, I would agree with, obviously. Okay, now Joe Biden is asked about these anti-Semitic protests on college campuses where Jewish students are being spit upon, physically assaulted, harassed, blocked from going to class, and people are chanting genocidal slogans. And here was Joe Biden's very fine people on both sides answer. What he actually did is very bad people on both sides answer. Here's Joe Biden being just moral trash.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being moved.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
I didn't know about what this dullard. So I'm just wondering who he's talking about there. I condemn all the anti-Semitic protests. Also, I condemn everybody who doesn't understand the plight of the past. So let me just get this straight. You are now equating people who are shouting for the extermination of Israel with people who, quote unquote, don't understand the plight of the Palestinians. What are you talking about? What plight are you referring to? Are you suggesting that pro-Israel students and genocidally anti-Israel students are on the same moral ledger here? Is that the suggestion? Because that seems to be the suggestion. It sounds like you're saying they're very bad people on both sides. Really, where are the Jewish students assaulting the Palestinian students? Where are they? Anywhere? Why is it that there's only one side here that's burning American flags? Why is it that only one side here is obstructing the other side from doing what they want to do? And what they want to do is, like, you know, wave American flags and go to class. Why? Where are the very bad people on both sides that we're supposed to be hearing about here? And why is it that action on the one side, meaning like obstructing people, violating the law, assaulting students, doing all this sort of stuff, he's now equating that with holding what he would perceive to be the wrong views on the Palestinians? What are those wrong views exactly? Everybody acknowledges that the Palestinians are suffering. The reason they are suffering is because they elected Hamas, and Hamas committed a terror attack and refuses to surrender and is still holding hostages. By the way, Joe Biden still has nothing to say about an American hostage who is still being held. There are 5 American hostages still being held by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. This is now Passover, which is the season of freedom for Jews, except for the 133 missing Jews who are still being held or are dead in the Gaza Strip thanks to Hamas. In fact, there was tape released by Hamas over the Passover holiday of an American. This is an American citizen who's being held. He has one arm because he was wounded by Hamas, and then they chopped off his arm while he was there. That's the way that they did their surgeries. They chopped off his arm. They wanted to show proof of life. Okay, his name is Hirsch Goldberg Polin. And here he was. He's being held by Hamas. Does Joe Biden have any words to say about that? No, of course not. Okay, so he's being forced to say things about Benjamin Netanyahu and the terrible Israeli government. This is what Hamas does. They point a gun at these people and they say, we want you to rip into the Israeli government, and suggesting that the IDF is failing and all the rest of this sort of stuff. Okay, where exactly is Joe Biden? Joe Biden is busy standing for the protesters who are on the side of the Hamas group that chopped off this guy's arm after wounding him and is still holding him hostage. That's where he is. I'm going to get to the rest of the Democratic Party in a second, because there are, in fact, it turns out it's not all that hard to stand up against extremism and craziness in your own party. It really is not. It's not that difficult. You can do it, but Joe Biden won't. Get to more of that in a moment. First, Matt Walsh has the gavel poised. The robe is back on. Court is back in session. It is without a doubt your civic duty to watch the newest episode of Judged by Matt Walsh on Daily Wire Plus. Now, Judge Walsh isn't stepping into the courtroom just for a spectacle. Unbelievably, the people you see are real. The petty cases are real. The decisions are, in fact, legally binding. Remember, the courtroom is Judge Walsh's domain, but entry is exclusive to Daily Wire Plus members. So make the wise decision. Get your membership right now at dailywireplus.com. Witness the gavel of justice in action with an all-new episode of Judged by Matt Walsh only at Daily Wire Plus. Also, the 2024 NFL Draft, it's here. Crane & Company will be live streaming the entire first round starting at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. Not only will watching this live stream give you a reprieve from Roger Goodell and any woke commercials you may be forced to watch, you will get in-depth analysis and breakdowns of the draft's top players and team needs going into the 2024 season. They will be live streaming on all platforms. That includes DW+, YouTube, X, and Rumble. So be sure to join tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and leave your thoughts in the live chat. Okay, meanwhile, again, the reason the Democratic Party is being soft on these protesters is for two reasons. One is political. They believe that they can get these low propensity radical voters to vote for them in the upcoming election, particularly in Michigan. That is why they are doing this. Also, on an ideological level, they support many of the same principles as the pro-Hamas protesters, because there's this peculiar idea in left-wing circles that everything in the Middle East revolves around the centrality of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that if only Israel would grant more concessions to the Palestinians, magically the Palestinians would become moderate, despite decades of proof that the precise opposite is true, that the more concessions you actually show to terrorists, the more they become terrorists. Doesn't matter. They're going to continue pushing this. So Eric Holder, the former attorney general, a Columbia College and law school graduate, said in a tweet Thursday, quote, campus unrest is fueled by legitimate concerns about Gaza. And he described the congressional hearings about anti-Semitism on campus as, quote, irresponsible, unproductive witch hunt political hearings. By the way, he also works for a law firm called Covington and Burling that said the behavior of these protesters would not be tolerated if they disrupted the ways of doing business. Covington said the death of Jews and the elimination of State of Israel chants are anti-Semitic and they would not be tolerated at any of our firms, but not according to Eric Holder. Now, again, it is amazing to watch as Democrats run from these people, literally run in some cases. So here, for example, is the NYPD assistant chief. So remember, the NYPD was called on campus. They arrested some of the Columbia protesters and then they released all of them. Here is the NYPD assistant chief looking to run away from the protesters. You want to talk about cowardice? This is what cowardice looks like. It looks like a city unwilling to back its own cops sufficient to protect them from anti-Semitic protesters. This guy's just trying to get into the building and they're chasing him down the street and cursing at him. Meanwhile, the radical Democrats, of course, are supporting the anti-Semites. That would include, of course, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who herself is not fond of the Jews. She tweeted out, quote, not only did Columbia make the horrific decision to mobilize NYPD on their own students, the units called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. NYPD had promised the city they wouldn't deploy SRG to protest. So why are these counter-terror units here? Well, good for Chief John Chell, who's the NYPD chief of patrol. He then tweeted, quote, truly amazing. Columbia decided to hold its students accountable to the laws of the school. They're seeing the consequences of their actions, something these kids were most likely never taught. Good SAT scores and self-entitlement do not supersede the law. I'm sure you would agree we have to teach these valuable life skills. Secondly, I was with these units last Thursday that you described as having, quote, the most violent reputations. These units removed students with great care and professionalism. Not a single incident was reported. The only incidents that day on campus were the students' hateful anti-Semitic speech and vile language to our cops. I'm sure you agree any hateful speech is unacceptable. You should rethink your comments to a simple thank you to the NYPD. Hate has no place in our society. Maybe you should walk around Columbia and NYU and listen to the remarks of pure hatred. I will ensure these units protect you as they do all New Yorkers. Now, again, he's not arresting people for saying anti-Semitic things. You have a right in America to say anti-Semitic things. He's arresting them for violating the law. They are trespassing. But again, the reason that the left, here's the thing, when it comes to the left and their protesters, their rioters, the people who actually violate the law, the big critique that they have of those people is that they're just too passionate. They're just too special. So for example, CNN, senior national security analyst, senior, wow, so much national security, Juliette Kayyem, She says these students have to be given room to flower and grow in violation of law because they're so passionate. See, passion is a substitute for being a basically decent human being.
They do have to allow space for students to protest. I said, you got to give them an outlet. The students are allowed to protest. This should not be a shock to anyone with teenagers or young adult children. They have strong feelings and they're passionate because if you just immediately go to arrest, it's going to cause, I think, some of the what we're seeing on air, which is nothing's happening and then lots is happening. You want to give students space as long as you're protecting students who want to go to classes, Jewish students, if they're targeted.
Okay, so no, actually, that is completely wrong. You know how I know that that's completely wrong, by the way? The way that I know that's completely wrong is because in Republican states, they didn't do that. And you know what's not happening? Students being harassed on their way to class. So for example, UT Austin, a bunch of students tried to do the same thing that they are doing at Columbia University. And you know what happened? Everybody who violated the law got arrested because they don't play around in Texas. Here is some of the tape as to what was going on at UT Austin. See, they're having an unauthorized protest, right? The protest was not cleared with the university. So the University of Texas sent in the cops. And then they arrested everybody. And all those people went straight to Travis County Jail. And then they were released. And you know what happened? Nothing. Because it turns out that when you violate the law, you go to jail. Which, by the way, even under civil disobedience rules, everybody knew that was the case. Even in the days of like actual useful protests back in the 1960s, I'm talking about like racial sit-ins and stuff, people went to jail deliberately because they were attempting to demonstrate the unjustness of the legal regime. You occupying your student center against Israel, by the way, is not going to end conflict in the Middle East, you idiots. But you do that, and then you violate the law. It turns out that sending a few of these kids to jail for violation of the law is a good idea. But Governor Greg Abbott said he's correct. He tweeted out, arrests being made right now and will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. And then he said anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Now, again, he's not saying that if you're anti-Semitic, it's against the law in Texas. He is saying anti-Semitism is bad. But what he said is students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled, which, again, they are in violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Now, again, you want to get rid of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, get rid of all the anti-discrimination laws at the universities, make a case for it. Make a case for it. But if you're going to have anti-discrimination laws at the universities like Title VI, it applies equally to everyone. Not only that, obviously, colleges have to be run, they are not protest centers. Colleges are places for education in the same way that no public school in the United States has an obligation to allow the students to walk out of class every 2 seconds and obstruct the functioning of the school. The same thing is true of colleges as well. And meanwhile, Ron DeSantis said the same thing. He says Hamas, these Hamas demonstrations, they violate the law and they're not going to be tolerated in the state of Florida. It's not all that hard to do this, by the way.
You think about what happened when you have these Hamas demonstrators out. They're taking over bridges and they're taking over roads. And first of all, you don't have a right to do that. You have someone get stuck in traffic. How do you know if someone may need to get to a hospital? Someone may need to pick up a child somewhere and you're just going to commandeer the road because you have this ideological prediction. They tried to do that in Miami. And what happened? In 10 minutes, they got dragged off the road where they belonged. And we're not going to tolerate that.
Again, this is not particularly tough. Protest what you want to protest. Don't do it illegally. Get to more on this in just a moment. First, the NBA playoffs are heating up. There's no shortage of high stakes of basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you. The rest of your entry will stay live. Producer Jake, he's been loving Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's been getting in on the NBA playoff action. Download that Prize Pick apps today. Use code BEN for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code BEN on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. Lots of action this time of year. Use code BEN over at Prize Picks app and get that first deposit match up to $100. And when I've spoken on college campuses, there's been lots of protests against me. That's free speech, and that's fine. If you've cleared it with the university as per time, place, and manner restrictions, and you are not obstructing me from actually pursuing my rights on a campus, if you're not assaulting students, if you're not threatening them with genocide, for example, which amounts to Title VI harassment, this is not particularly tough stuff. And the administrators know this. They know this. They're looking the other way because they are fine with anti-Semitism because Jews are at the top of the so-called intersectional hierarchy because Jews as a group are disproportionately successful, which means they must be the conspiratorial force behind all of the suffering of intersectional groups. That's where anti-Semitism and intersectionality cross streams. It's like the Ghostbuster stream crossing. And that's what you get in these bizarre and ridiculous and ugly protests. Okay, meanwhile, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, actually went down to Columbia University to speak out against the anti-Semitism on campus. As folks know, I like Speaker Johnson. I think Speaker Johnson has his heart and his head in the right place. Here he was at Columbia University being harassed by the students. And the media were treating this as some sort of L for Johnson because he was being harassed by the students. No, this would be a W for Johnson because being harassed by a bunch of pro-Hamas morons with pink hair, it turns out that that's a win. That's a political win.
So, thank you all for being here today. We have several members of Congress here, and we're here today at one of America's preeminent academic institutions on a very important day.
Johnson went on, despite the harassment, to call for the president of the university to resign and talk about anti-Semitism on the campus.
Columbia University once awarded Winston Churchill an honorary degree, and it was Churchill who said, "It is manifestly right that Jews should have a national home where they may be reunited." We believe in that principle. And today I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone. We just can't allow this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested. And I'm here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
By the way, when you hear the protesters who are booing him for calling for the president to resign, that tells you everything you need to know. The protesters want her to remain. They want her to remain because she is their woman. She works for them. She does not work for the entire student body. She works for this tiny cadre of idiots who are protesting in favor of Hamas and shouting at the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Here's the thing. The real world at a certain point is going to apply. I don't know how many Americans look at these protesters who are wearing Hamas gear and keffiyehs and burning American flags and shouting at Jewish students and think to themselves, these are the people I think should really represent the future. Now, if you're a smart Democrat, you know that. So Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania is a smart Democrat. He recently won his governor's race, and he has basically governed as a moderate. And so he did an interview with Politico where he said, what we're seeing at Columbia and what we're seeing in some campuses across America where universities can't guarantee the safety and security of their students is absolutely unacceptable. If the universities, in accordance with their policies, can't guarantee the safety and security and well-being of the students, I think it's incumbent upon a local mayor or local governor or local town councilor, whoever is the local leadership there, to step in and enforce the law. And that, of course, is exactly right. It's not hard to do this. That's the part that's amazing. All the left wing of the Democratic Party has to do, all the normal Democratic Party has to do, is have a bit of a sister soldier moment with regard to the nuts in their own party, but they won't do it. Instead, they're trying to have the baby the same way that Joe Biden is constantly trying to do.
Well, yes, I don't like the anti-Semitism, but also you have to understand the plight of the past.
What do those things have to do with one another? Nothing. You can see the infighting breaking out inside the Democratic caucus. Jared Moskowitz is a Democrat, and he attacked Bernie Sanders for calling on cutting off funding for Israel. And he suggested, Bernie, now do anti-Semitism. Why so quiet? Again, this is not particularly difficult. AOC then responded and suggested, you can't attack Bernie Sanders. He has relatives who died in the Holocaust. Okay, welcome to being a Jew. Okay, we all had relatives who died in the Holocaust. Like, if you are a Jew with relatives in Europe, which was like pretty much every Jew on the planet, circa 1943, You had relatives who died in the Holocaust. That does not give you special dispensation to be an anti-Israel, pro-anti-Semite jackass like Bernie Sanders, which is what Jared Moskowitz then replied. He said, my family was also killed in the Holocaust, in Germany and in Poland. My grandmother was in the Kinder transport. They also instilled values in me. That's why I voted for aid to Israel and for aid to Gaza. We see each other at work. We're both better than doing this here. And then she responded to him and all the rest. But here's the reality. All of this is very bad for the Democratic Party. So frankly, as a Republican, I'm rooting for the Democrats to go deeper down the pro-Hamas rabbit hole. Like truly do this. Keep doing it, you idiots. Keep doing it. See if these protesters are going to vote for you or if they're going to show up at the convention in Chicago and start burning American flags outside and see how the American people receive that. See how the American people like that. I think the answer is not going to be very much. And by the way, as for these graduates of these top Ivy League universities, all they're doing is degrading the degree. Bill Ackman, who's a Harvard grad, he has said already, I'm looking at these degrees with a large dose of salt. Because if you got a degree in sociology from Harvard, good indicator that you're probably a left-wing idiot who learned nothing. Activist investor Dan Loeb, who is also a graduate of Columbia, he said he's begun to reconsider whether to focus offering jobs at his hedge funds to fellow alums and other Ivy League schools like Harvard, Yale, and Penn. He said, we've always looked beyond the target schools. We're doing it even more now, given the recent events. He said, we're looking for high-quality candidates, but we're going to be looking at different places. He's broadening his focus to schools like Yeshiva University, University of Florida, and Emory. Yes, because those are universities that don't, for example, stand for Hamas. It's about time, and that's going to be the natural consequence. So frankly, I may be an accelerationist here. On just a pure moral level, I wish these universities would do their job, guarantee the safety of their students as per the law, stop pro-Hamas students from, you know, violating the law. And also, if you're a private university, you have no obligation to allow people to stand for terrorism on your campus. You don't. You actually don't. Just like a private business, you do not have an obligation to do that. But part of me says, okay, fine, these universities are already so thoroughly captured that I hope they keep doubling down. In the same way that I was kind of sad that they got rid of Claudine Gay over at Harvard. Like, fine, keep doubling down and see how it works out for you in the real world where business people want to hire good graduates who are good at their jobs, not a bunch of idiot activists who spend their days peeing on themselves in tents in the middle of the Columbia University campus while not even understanding which river and which sea they're chanting about. Alrighty, coming up, we are going to get into Joe Biden. Again, that dude and the teleprompter, not friends. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.
Are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more and weighing less every time you buy it from the store? Well, Good Ranchers Price Lock Guarantee offers a sizzling solution. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is not just offering a temporary fix, but a long-term solution. They're locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to one of their boxes. GoodRanchers.com is where I get the most tender meat that's full of flavor every time. With options like beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood, they have something for even the pickiest of eaters. There's no reason to order takeout when you can make something far better at home. Good Ranchers even offers recipes to take your cooking skills to the next level. With meat prices on the rise and store-bought meat quality on the decline, Good Ranchers Price Shield will not just save you hundreds, but give you the best 100% American meat that you'll ever eat. Right now, when you go to GoodRanchers.com and use promo code DAILYWIRE, you'll get their exclusive price shield plus an additional 10% off your order. This offer ends at the end of the month, so if you want to secure your best price until 2026, go to GoodRanchers.com and use code DAILYWIRE. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code DAILYWIRE.